Up next on a Trucking Matters edition of our podcast series from Reliance Partners, we will be talking with Chad Boblett, the founder of Boblett Brothers Trucking and creator of the very popular Rate Per Mile Masters discussion group on Facebook. As a trucking business owner who is also behind the wheel, Chad has a fascinating perspective on what's happening with freight trends in our industry. Here's a preview.
The people that it's been the most vicious for is the guys that got in right after COVID and the freight market was booming. Those guys that got in, they probably spent more than the average rate for a truck and a trailer. Trucks back then, they costed more and they got used to that big money. You didn't have to use skill. You could be Pee Wee Herman and fall out of your truck and get $3 per mile. It took zero skill at all to be able to do it. You could go anywhere and still end up making good money back when rates were really good. Since then, and I would say this past year, you have to be applying skill. You have to be creating relationships in order to just stay afloat. The thing is, if you can make it in this market the way it is right now, don't be worried about the future because you're going to do fine. It's those that got in when it was at the top, the ones that are going to struggle with it being as low as it is now.
Welcome to another Trucking Matters edition of our Safety Matters podcast series from Reliance Partners. Hello, everyone. I'm Tom Albrecht, the Chief Financial Officer and Chief Revenue Officer at Reliance Partners, and I'm your host for our podcast, which is serving as a companion to the Safety Matters webinar series from Reliance. Once again, for this episode, we are expanding the focus of our Safety Matters series to explore other key topics within the trucking industry and across the business of trucking. In today's episode, we will be getting a ground floor perspective on the state of freight and how to stay afloat in challenging times from Chad Boblett. Some of you may recognize Chad as the creator of the Rate Per Mile Masters group on Facebook, a private group that Chad started. Rate Per Mile Masters now has more than 36,000 members within its Facebook community. And as you will hear, Chad also founded and operates his own trucking business, Boblett Brothers Trucking, which he launched in 2011 following 10 years of military service in the Marine Corps. Recently, we had a wide-ranging conversation, including topics such as finding better loads and freight rates, regardless of the cycle, the advantages of running a power-only operation, how to improve your safety scores, and why, in Chad's view, he believes it is better to have your own operating authority rather than positioning yourself as a lease operator. Now, as we take you to our conversation of this edition of the podcast, I started by asking Chad to share some reflections from his time in the military. Chad, first of all, welcome to the broadcast and tell us a little bit about yourself, starting with the fact that you were a Marine and how you ended up in trucking.
Well, finished high school, and instead of going to college, I went to the Marine Corps. That seemed like more fun and excitement going that route. I did 10 years in the Marine Corps. I really never thought about getting out of the Marine Corps. Kids, they like doing Boy Scouts. I like doing the service. I thought that was fun. But after going to Iraq, I seen what was happening where it was going to be a non-ending thing where they would give us a few months off back in California or wherever your base was, and then you're just going right back over to Iraq. And instead of re-enlisting, I decided to get it out. And at that time, 2006, I didn't have a plan on where I'd be working at, but everybody was using newspapers. The internet was kind of new then, but everybody still used newspapers. And some of the biggest ads in the newspapers was for trucking. Make this money, drive a truck, and just seemed like this is such an easy thing to do. And that was my start getting into trucking and paid for my own school, got my CDL. My first year was with TMC and then did 3 years with McLean. And then led me going from being at McLean to starting my own trucking company, which is Boblett Brothers, and being an owner-operator.
So all told, how many years now have you been around this crazy industry of trucking?
18, 19, something like that. 13 well, years with my authority.
I think sometimes in trucking, you can kind of apply the dog years times seven, in other words, because of the way it can take a toll on everybody. But at the same time, it gets in your blood there. Well, we've got a whole bunch of things I'm looking forward to chatting about today, Chad. So let's just jump right into it. Power only. You're a big fan of it. You like it almost regardless of the environment. But you also think that right now, where we are hopefully no more than weeks or a few months away from the beginning of the next recovery, talk to us about why you like power only in general. And in particular, why now is a good time to be thinking about that?
Well, fingers crossed, and let's hope you're right and that we are weeks.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot later on your crystal ball.
Hopefully we are close to the turnaround. And one of the first signs that we'll see that things are turning around and getting better will be in power only. The 13 years I've had my authority and I've been doing it myself. Anytime we go into a down market and as it starts to come out, one of the signs that will show us that we're coming out of the down market is power only. A lot of these carriers, they'll have more freight than they will drivers. Like they took on too much from their shipper. Their customers are giving them more freight than they have drivers. They've did hiring freezes. It takes longer to bring on drivers. And one way that they can fix that gap is hiring us independent owner-operator carriers like myself to come get their freight. Now, what I like about it so much is a lot of these carriers are kind of selective. And I'm not talking about the big mega carriers. They do it as a way to move freight cheaper. But some of the ones that maybe around less than 1,000 trucks, maybe around 500, they're going to be more selective on who they let pull their trailers and pull their freight. Remember, they really don't want to do this. They want their own guys to do it, but they don't have the drivers. The first place they'll reach out is independent owner-operator carriers. And they want some of the best. Once you get in, you start doing it with them, they'll give you more and more of it. When I bought my 2016 Vanguard trailer, I used to tell people all the time that for years, it's still a new trailer because I never use it. I'm always constantly pulling somebody else's trailer.
That's an interesting distinction because in the last 5 to 6 years, some of these mega fleets, without naming names, have built massive trailer pools offering power only. But you basically said you think the better opportunities maybe with the 500 to 1,000 truck fleet that has power only in certain parts of the country. Can you talk about how you find out when they have those loads? Just for those who've never done power only before, how would they learn about those opportunities?
I got my start in power only by posting the load board that I use most often is DAT. You can post your truck as a power only. So I've always posted myself as having a dry van, and the other option was to be a power only. The companies will see that you're posted as a power only, and then they call you. And that's kind of how you get into doing power only. When they call you, they tell you what they have, and you'll give them a rate. And they're always looking. There's always a company needing somebody at some crazy hour of the night. And if you're that one truck, and usually you are that one truck, because not a whole lot of people are doing it. A lot of people do van, a lot of people do flatbed and reefer, but you don't see a whole lot of guys out here looking for power only. If you're the only one that's available to do it, then you're going to get the call. The great thing about it is once you pull that first power only load with that company, and if you can get another power only with them, then you're in their network. They're going to see opportunities to use you all the time for that stuff. I mean, I have really good success stories with AAA Cooper. That's a big trucking company. On the side of their trailers, it says AAA Cooper. I don't know if they pull Mercedes automotive freight anymore, but one of the stipulations when they did have that contract was it had to be their trucks, their trailers that brought in the freight into Mercedes. You had to have one of their trucks, and they thought they could get away with it by at least the trailer has their name on it. The truck doesn't. I was doing a lot of these power only. I live in Lexington, Kentucky. So a lot of it was round trip coming out of Lexington, Kentucky down in Alabama. And they asked me, do you care before you go into the gate at Mercedes to put AAA Cooper over my name, Bobble Brothers? I'll do that. I'll even spray paint my truck blue and white so it looks like yours if you want me to, as long as you're giving me all this freight, because they were giving me so much of it. Every time their drivers would call off, I was getting a call. I used to keep that a secret, not tell nobody, but now that I don't pull their freight, I don't get none of their freight. I didn't want nobody moving in on it, so I didn't tell nobody the name of that company, but I do now because they were so rewarding working with.
Is there any downside to power only? What's the downside in your opinion?
The downside would be the scary downside. There's a lot more questions you need to be asking if it's, say, a broker that you've never used before. Some nightmare stories. As a broker will tell you, you're going to go to this location and pick up this trailer and take it to another location. Well, when you get to this location and you tell the broker, I'm here at this location, this parking lot has 500 to 1,000 trailers on it. Well, how am I supposed to find this trailer? And then they give you a serial number of the trailer. So I'm going to go around and look at 100 different trailers and try to see if the serial number matches up. That's not right. And then there might be problems with the trailer. I've came across trailers that I wouldn't pull. Talk about safety. I've had to turn down several times trailers because they're in too bad a shape where if I get pulled over going down the road pulling this trailer, that's going to come back on me with my insurance, my safety score, and things like that. It's those type of problems that, yeah, it does have a bad side.
But like you said at the beginning, when we've gone through a freight recession and many of the larger motor carriers have downsized their driver base, but they've probably kept the trailer fleet pretty flattish because trailers are always in demand. That'll be one of the first things that move. They'll have trailers. They'll have freight. So folks at least need to be open to the power only possibilities.
Back when ELD, before the mandate came out, a lot of the big mega carriers, well, not even mega carriers, a lot of carriers, it became very popular where the carrier would have 2 or 3 trailers for one truck. I think Knight Swift, if you go look at their stats, I think they have 5 trailers to 1 truck. It even became more popular with COVID. A lot more of the shippers and receivers, that was one thing that they started demanding, so that you're not interacting with people inside the warehouse. They would just want to go pick up your trailer and go drop the trailer. It was less interaction with people. So that turned into a good thing for Power Only as well. And going into the future, we're just going to see more and more of it.
I agree 100%. Like you said, the trailer ratios to tractors have been going up. Throughout the 90s, they generally came down as folks put on Qualcomm or other trailer tracking devices. And that pretty much went on to somewhere around 2005 to 2010, and then they began to level off. But in the last 5 or 6 years, because of the build out of trailer pools, also freight flows around USMCA require more trailers down for cross-border freight, we've seen trailer ratios go back up, and they're not going back anymore. It's an interesting dynamic you describe. Let me shift gears just a little bit. Now, you're an independent contractor. You have your own operating authority. You really believe strongly in the merits of that. Can you talk about the pros and cons of being a leased-on owner-operator versus truly being an independent with your own operating authority? Why you vote on the latter?
I've never done the leased-on to someone. I skipped that whole thing. When I bought a truck, I first looked at leasing onto a company and just the restrictions. If I lease onto a company, pros and cons, I'm going to have to give up 35%, but they do a lot of this back office stuff. Some of them might be even lower than 35%, some 30%, 20%. The other scenario was if I got my own authority, then maybe a $35 or $40 or $50 for a load board per month instead of giving up 35%, 20%. So it just made more sense to me. I'm like, what's the catch? At the very beginning, I used to say to myself, I don't understand why people would lease on to someone. It just didn't make any sense to me to have my own authority. With my own authority, the money's going to come to me. I'm going to get more opportunity. Let's give you a scenario. Amazon, they're right down the road. I live in Lexington, Kentucky. Amazon has called me up before and said, hey, we've got 3 trailers that need to go from our warehouse here to our other warehouse that's less than 3 miles down the road. Can you give us a rate and be able to do it? It's time sensitive. We need it done right now. Because I have my authority and because I'm answering the phone, I'm able to take that phone call. But if I didn't have my authority, they would have called the carrier that I'm leased to. I probably never would have got that opportunity. And that was like $300 per trailer is what I quoted them. And I was able to go within like 2 hours, move 3 trailers and make $900. Again, if I was leased onto somebody, I would have never got that opportunity. I've had people rent trailers from me. I mean, I've just seen so many scenarios where business comes to me because I own a business. If I'm leased onto someone, then that business goes to them. I want to build my name. One day I want to step out of the truck, hand the keys off to people that's working for me. We should all be striving to one day be able to retire or at least be able to step back a little bit. I can see that vision, have my own authority, at least onto someone, you're helping build their name. I'll take my name off my truck anytime. I've said this for years and years and years, and I've been looking for this company. Show me the numbers and the freedom that I have with my own numbers, and I'll have no problem at all taking Boblett Brothers off my truck and putting your name on it.
Taking what you just said as an example, even if you were a leased-on owner-operator and that larger company did call you, you're still going to likely give up 35% of that revenue. So those 3 trailers you were able to move for Amazon that day, $900 becomes not even quite $600. There's a lot of ways to slice that. So we've been through what a lot of people believe is the nastiest freight recession, if not since deregulation in 1980, then it's certainly on a par with the great housing crisis of 08-09. Have you had some doubts in the last 15, 20 months? Like, can I make this? Am I going to have to go a different course? I mean, what have you done to survive? I mean, this was brutal at times.
It is, and I'm on social media all the time, and I see how bad it is with other people. The people that it's been the most vicious for is the guys that got in right after COVID and the freight market was booming. Those guys that got in, they probably spent more than the average rate for a truck and a trailer. Trucks back then, they cost it more, and they got used to that big money. You didn't have to use skill. You could be Pee Wee Herman and fall out of your truck and get $3 per mile. It took zero skill at all to be able to do it. You could go anywhere and still end up making good money back when rates were really good. Since then, and I would say this past year, you have to be applying skill. You have to be creating relationships in order to stay afloat. The thing is, if you can make it in this market the way it is right now, don't be worried about the future because you're going to do fine. It's those that got in when it was at the top, the ones that are going to struggle with it being as low as it is now.
Yeah, I agree. Folks that can get through this, they're going to be on the cusp of just a magnificent recovery. Wish I could tell you when, but it will come. Been around the industry since 1988. So in the darkest days, when it seems like it's not going to end, it does end.
To add to that, yeah. the people that I talk to, they're thinking that a recovery is going to look like what it was right after COVID, where it was booming and it was so great. That's a once in a lifetime ordeal. It could happen, but most likely won't in our lifetime. Will we ever see the type of demand that came out of that situation?
Right.
So whenever people think of the future of something like that, that's not reality. We will see going into spring, the plants, people, seasonal type of loads that'll hit. We get into hurricanes, those type of loads, those FEMA loads will hit. But that's not how you want to run your business, especially if you're running the spot market. Those are bonuses when they happen. When those events, even the polar vortex, that was a huge bonus whenever that happened. But that's not how you want to run your operation week after week. I mean, you want to stay consistent. And the thing that I found the best is who you're doing business with. I like to do things in threes. Find three brokers, find three customers. I like to work with brokers. I mean, if you like working with direct shippers, I have at it. But do things in threes, find three really good brokers and work with them repeatedly.
That's a great point. I was about ready to ask you about load boards versus relying on a handful of good brokers. You've narrowed it down to three. But I think what I've also heard is you've kind of got both options in your holster. It's not load boards or good brokers. It's both, right?
Yes. And it depends on what's going on with demand. If demand is really high, I love running the load boards and running the spot market whenever demand is really high. But right now, demand's not that high. We don't know if it's going to increase or not. When it's down like this, if you're good at what you do, you show up on time, you have good equipment, you have a good safety score, all those things, you're doing the right thing. It's easy to build connections. Go to truck stops and compare what you are to your competition. It's not that hard to be a little bit better than the rest of them. So you can always establish a good relationship and connections with different people. So whenever it's slow like it is right now, this is where the relationships count. It helps you out so much better to have those relationships, especially when it's slow. But yes, I'm going to be a spot market king if it flips and goes the other way. If a hurricane hits somewhere, yeah, that relationship is pretty good, but also like $7 per mile whenever FEMA hits. I'm going to take advantage of it in both directions.
Do you have a preference on kind of mid-sized or large brokers, or is it just whatever you developed a relationship with where there's a two-way sense of trust?
One of the largest brokers, and I don't care to mention their name, is C.H. Robinson. And I know the higher up people there. I'm good friends with that company. I like C.H. Robinson a lot. They're the biggest. Even if you notice in my group, hardly nobody ever has that many problems with them. They're a good broker to be with. But if you're trying to build that really good relationship, yeah, the smaller it gets, the more at your level, it seems like it's always worked out better to create that type of relationship when they are smaller.
Yeah. Prior to deregulation in 1980, there was an old phrase a lot of truckers used, and you still hear it. You call, we haul. But in the 43 years since deregulation, making money is not quite that simple. You call, we haul type of philosophy. So you've already given some good revenue tips, but what about short haul versus long haul, medium haul? What are your thoughts on just running randomly in a true OTR fashion? Or do you like to run short? Can you just kind of give some insights on that?
Okay, one more thing to the very large broker and the small broker. Where they both come in really good is if you can text the agent. Instead of looking at the name of the broker, I like work with that agent. That agent could be with a really small one or the big one. But the key thing is, if I can text that agent, it just seems like I can create a good relationship by doing that. But I'll move on to the other question. The over the road and short haul, I'm good with all 48 states. I mean, I have the authority to run all 48 states. Of course, you're in insurance, you're going to know the tighter I keep my circle here in Lexington, Kentucky. My insurance people will even tell me this, that it helps my rates, especially with demand being low like this. With the demand being really low like this, I want to stay really close, going to the same shippers, same receivers, same brokers, to where my deadhead is not that great if I need to come back home. And a weak demand, the way it is now, I want to stay close to home. But I keep an eye on all the entire market. Back whenever they were having shipping problems out in California, you hear about the ports having problems in California. Well, whenever that got resolved and it opened up, well, that caused a lot of demand for trucks out in California. So I'm going to go where the demand is. And it didn't bother me at all to go out to California. And I made a lot of money at that time. I remember when that happened and I was gone for like 6 weeks and my wife said, when are you coming back home? I said, when we get the house paid off, I'll come back home. I went out there and stayed out there and I kept running LA to Las Vegas, Oregon. I did that during Christmas one time and I actually parked my truck. People that know this area, they'll know what I'm talking about. There was only one truck stop and they charge a lot of money to park at it. And I got so homesick around Christmas time that I parked my truck, took an Uber to the Sacramento airport, flew home and spent that weekend with my wife and kids and came back home. That truck stop charged me more than what the flight was come all the way home and back.
So I think what I've heard you say is short haul during more difficult times, but when there's a catalyst, so a catalyst could be a crazy freight environment like 21, first part of 22, or specific to like the port situation. Right now, again, there's some things going on out west. The port numbers in February, the western ports were up 39% year over year. Even the eastern ports were up about 14% in February. And that's against a growth number a year ago for them. But I think what I'm hearing you say is that as long as it's not a circumstance where you're just going to get one load and you know there's a chance there's nothing more, and then you're going to get stuck 800, 1500 miles from home or your home base, when there's a catalyst and there's going to be repetitive loads, repetitive runs, then that's when you want to jump in the fray on a little bit longer haul. Is that correct, Chad?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Get the good while the getting's good. I think it's how my dad used to say it. You'll see so many drivers say, I just feel like I'm working so much harder and making a whole lot less money. Once you're established and you're going pretty good, looking for time to take time off. We just went through January 15th to February the 15th, I think is like the slowest time for van freight and trucking. If you know it's that slow during the last 13 years, it's always been slow that time. If you know it's going to be like that, then you should think about taking that time off. Plan on taking that time off, and then it's not that big of a deal for you.
Chad, here's a question from a gentleman named Brent. He said, I'm a new owner operator. Should I get my own authority to run power only, or should I just go ahead and start with a power only carrier?
One thing I'll add to that power only that I want Brent to know is I would never do power only or commit to doing power only if I did not have a backup, some other sort of trailer sitting in my yard. In the group, I see that pop up all the time. They hear me say the good stuff about power only, and the first thing they think is, well, I can just get a truck. I don't need a trailer because I can do power only. I'm not saying that at all. Power only should be added to what you're already doing. I don't want you to rely on power only being the only thing you do, because then you get caught in the situation where you have to run these other people's trailers and you have to do this power only. The reason why it was so good for me is because I don't have to take your trailer. I don't have to run your power only. Every time someone would call me about a power only, I always quoted round trip rates. I'm going to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Give you an example. I'm going to charge $2 per mile all the way from the time I leave my house until the time I come back to my house. And brokers will say, well, we're not paying you to come back home, but I don't have a trailer once I drop your trailer off in Chattanooga. So this is what my rate is going to be if you want me to do it. That has been my success, but I've seen too many people depend on it, and you can't depend on power only. I mean, I've seen people make it work. It's just not a good thing.
Well, they leave themselves vulnerable. What you're saying is it's another arrow in the quiver, but it's not the only arrow in your quiver. That's a great point. You want both options. The more options you have, the more chance you can survive and be successful. We'll get to another question here shortly. Factoring though, Chad, I know you're not scared of it. You rely on it. It's been critical to you surviving and thriving. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because for some people, factoring is the equivalent of a four-letter word.
Yes. Well, rightfully so. Because if you're not picking the right factoring company, there's a whole lot of not so good factoring companies that cause you a lot of problems. Full disclosure, I work with Triumph and I've been working with them for almost a decade, 7 or 8 years, the group rate per mile masters. We do over 280,000. We're getting close to $300,000 per day, 5 days a week. This is a really good factoring company. We've never had a problem go past our sales agent that couldn't be solved. That's pretty good. Now, I don't want to mention other names, but there is other factoring companies where we see repeatedly the same factoring companies with the same problems. It's like they'll be offered maybe a cheaper rate and somebody will get with them and they find out, hey, they offered them a cheap rate, but then they have a lot of fees and a lot of problems and they don't have any service. But anyway, that would be my warnings on the factoring companies that you're looking at. Do your research and know who you're getting with. These contracts can be vicious on the way they're worded. That's the reason why it's number one, pick the right company. I like to look at factoring companies as a tier level. Triumph is going to be a very high standard tier level. There's other ones that are just as good. Apex, OTR. I don't see very many complaints. I don't know that much about them. I don't get very many complaints about them. Get into the lower tiers, you're going to see more problems. But anyway, a factoring company, just like we had a question come up today. Why does it take a broker and it says that they pay within 30 days, but it's taking some of these brokers 40 to 50 days to pay me? And what I tell them is you as an independent owner, operator, carrier, you're not reporting that broker to the credit bureau. You're not reporting their credit. And the brokers, they know they have to pay the factoring companies first because they're reporting it. They're reporting their credit. But you as an independent owner operator, they can wait till you call them two or three times before they pay. And that's usually not the case, but you are going to be second to the factor company on getting paid.
How do you feel about quick pay programs from some of the larger freight brokers, which are supposed to be a little bit like a factoring, but they take on that risk. They pay you what, within 48 hours after the load or something like that. Do you have any strong opinions there, or at least what folks should be looking for as a negative if they go down that path?
Well, positive. I like to tell our guys, some factoring companies that you sign a contract with, they'll want you to factor everything. With Triumph, they don't demand that. You can factor what you want. So this gives a good option. C.H. Robson, we already mentioned C.H. Robson before. I don't work for them. They have a really good low quick pay fee. So I would say take advantage of that if you're with C.H. Robson. If you're needing the money, I mean, if you're not such in demand of needing it, it is a better option than factoring in most situations, because I think they're at like 1.5%. So as an owner-operator carrier, you're not going to get that. And there's other brokers that offer the same thing, but then there's other brokers that are higher than that. In a situation, Convoy went out of business. That's public. I mean, everybody knows that. But they didn't offer a quick pay. It was just standard for them to pay within, I think, 7 days or something like that. If you read the news, you'll see that there's a lot of people that didn't get paid from Convoy because of Convoy going out of business. Whereas if they went through Triumph, they pre-approved Convoy, then Triumph, they wouldn't do a chargeback on you, because Convoy did have a good credit score until they didn't.
Right. Here's another question from the audience. And a gentleman named Garrett says, I'd like to know about the hotshot market, if you know anything about that, Chad.
I'm always surprised when I see people succeed with it. And I do see people succeed with it. I get calls asking about if I'll do hotshot, but these are usually people that are thinking they're going to get a better deal than using a regular truck. Like if I'm at $2 per mile, the shipper or the broker, they're thinking if they can find that hot shot, they'll be able to get that little bitty three pallets moved at a very cheap, less of a rate. I'm not going to talk too much about it just because I don't have that much knowledge about hot shot. It just seems like the easier something is, the more people more likely to get involved with it. Before you look at getting into business like that, take an F-350. That's what a lot of these guys are using, F-350, the bigger dually trucks. You're going to get 1 million miles out of that truck? Probably not. That's the kind of thing I look at, is a semi is built to be able to do that all the time. The Ford F-350 or something of that nature.
They're not necessarily built for 1 million miles. Well, I would say as a rule of thumb in terms of business climate, when the economy heats up and inventories are turning faster, companies are more willing to pay for that service. We know certainly the automotive industry always has some sort of emergency because plant shutdowns are very expensive. So they'll pay. Sometimes they'll charter an aircraft depending upon what's at stake. I call that kind of the ASAP market, as soon as possible. So it's not necessarily next day. It might be the next 6 hours or whatever the need may be. But if you're exploring that, Garrett, there'll be more opportunities when the economy and trucking capacity is tighter. There's not necessarily a need to pay a premium for that unless it's an extreme emergency right now. There'll be more opportunities even when it's not an emergency, when capacity's tighter overall. This is a rule of thumb for that individual. Well, let me dig in a couple of other things here. So you've mentioned your platform, Rate Per Mile Masters. It's on Facebook. I know many people have seen it, but for those that haven't, why don't you take 30 seconds and tell us what that forum is about? I've looked at it many times, and I think it's a wonderful source of information. So free commercial for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I am very proud of what it's turned into, and I really didn't think it would turn into what it has turned into. I did a TIA event, which is mostly a lot of CEOs and brokers. Before I went to speak, just kind of like what you're doing, you told them about the group, so they're familiar with who I was. This is a room in Las Vegas of about 500 people, high-level CEOs probably, the brokers and trucking carriers. And I asked, my name is Chad Boblett. I'm in the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook group. Is there anyone here that knows of it? And it kind of blew me away. Almost everyone raised their hand. The CEO at that time of C.H. Robinson came up to me. He's like, yeah, I'm in your group. These people are watching it and they're visible as soon as something's posted. We have a lot of success in the group. You're not going to see jokes in there. Every post is pre-approved. Comments are read. There's nothing funny about the group. It is 100% business and making money. In this industry, networking with brokers and carriers working together. March the 4th was our 10-year mark. We just hit our 10-year anniversary, a Facebook group going on that long. I would say over $100 million has traded hands in the network within that group.
That is amazing. Yeah, and for those who haven't explored it yet, as soon as this broadcast is over, go check it out. But I've seen all sorts of questions dealing with trailer theft in that, questions about rates, dealing with brokers, how to negotiate better rates, comments about load boards. Heck, I think I've even seen things about some of the compliance firms. It can be a little bit more difficult to clean up your reputation with them versus others. Not only do you offer thoughts, but many of your readers, listeners do as well. So it's a forum for everything imaginable if you check it out day after day.
And a big subject that I think a lot of people's found in value, especially this last year, is the fraud. How to be aware of fraud. Our industry has been hit hard with fraud issues, and people are learning how to fight against it, how to prevent it, how to not be becoming a victim of fraud.
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask you, fuel, ever so important for a trucker. Do you do anything to get a better than retail price? And can you share that with our audience?
Yes, absolutely. Now, my opinion is coming from a one truck owner operator carrier. I know once you get to 20, people will probably find other programs better. I used to tell people all the time that NASTIC was probably one of the best. But since then, other programs come along. RXO, yep. They have a decent one without so many fees and gimmicks and stuff going on with them. Their fuel savings is really good. No matter who you have, you got to have Mudflap, right? That name down, Mudflap. I know the CEO. I know the company. The best way to explain this, if nobody knows about it, what's valuable about this is, let's say you go to TA Petrol all the time for your fuel stop. Well, TA is on Mudflap, but Mudflap has a lot of the mom and pop truck stops. You might see you're getting a good discount at the TA truck stop, but you're getting a discount at a truck stop that's already got a higher than average price than anybody else. There's often a mom and pop truck stop that's already a little bit lower. I'm sounding like a commercial now, but it's so quick and easy to have that Mudflap and lock in your price with a code and get a cheaper price with Mudflap. But if you told me that you're stopping at Love's all the time, I could name one that you probably never even heard of that's doing a better deal. But who's stopping at Love's all the time? So I would say my advice would be, where do you stop at the most and look at getting your discount for that particular chain?
Are you saying ask about a fuel discount and Mudflap simultaneously wherever you fuel up?
I would combine Mudflap with whatever program you have. I would definitely combine Mudflap because Mudflap, I don't know how he was able to create such a large network because it's all these mom and pop truck stops. And plus he has the TA in there now. I mean, that's something new. I would definitely combine it. Combining it meaning combining it with your fuel savings program. You're not going to use it with another fuel card. You're going to use it separately, but that's how you would want to do it. So when you're planning out your trip, all right, within the next 600 miles, I need to top off. I need to get fuel. Where's the cheapest place you can get fuel? Always do it before. A reminder, I say this all the time because people don't understand it. You want to get the cheapest fuel minus the IFTA price. You're going to pay IFTA regardless. So take that price off of it. California, they have a high IFTA tax, but you might be able to find a place that if you take that price out, you're going to pay only the mileage that you do in that state. That's what I'm getting at. So once you find the cheapest place to get fuel, now pull out your Mudflap app and see, well, can Mudflap beat that anywhere along the way? That's how you use it.
Okay. What about tires? You do anything to get a discount below retail there?
There's other people that's got better advice about tires. I like Michelin tires. Whenever I go to get tires, I'm looking for tires that's going to give me the best low rolling resistance. They have on their website that'll tell you what a lot of the tires' rolling resistance is, and I want a tire that has the best energy rolling resistance. Michelin will give you a discount as an independent owner-operator carrier. It's just not that much. I think there's other programs out there that give better discounts, but I'm usually going to stick with Michelin. Some of the fleets, they have discounts on tires that could probably do a better discount than what Michelin gives, but that's what I'm shooting for is Michelin tires.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. What kind of freight do you like to avoid? We talked about length of haul earlier, but let's delve a little bit deeper. Freight you want to avoid. It could be a certain type of customer profile, or it could be certain markets. So it'd be other things. Just talk about that for a moment.
Anything salvage? Salvage scrap, recyclables, I don't want none of that.
Is it because it's cheap or because there's a long wait time on the loading and unloading or what?
That type of category, usually the more it weighs, the less it pays. Usually it's going to be heavy and it's not a load with demand. We've mentioned automotive parts going to Mercedes. What do you think has more of a higher priority that's going to have a higher rate associated? The automotive parts going to Mercedes or a load of empty plastic bottles that need to go to a recycling plant? You see what I'm saying? The parts load, there's going to be more money in it. And usually those other loads, they can sit around and wait until the right person is cheap enough to take it. Let me tell you what the worst load I've ever did.
No, I'd like to hear it.
I hate thinking about it, but when you asked me, it was the first thought that came to my head. And I did it years and years ago, and I'll make it fast. But it was out of Florida. Big broker, they called me up and asked me if I want to do the load. Florida is horrible for vans. So I was desperate for whatever I could get. And I knew it was going to be bad coming out of Florida. And when this broker told me they had it and it was paying somewhat decent, and I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that's better than anything else around here. Plus, it's going right by my house. It's going to Cincinnati. They gave me the address and she told me what the load was. And she said, it's raw hides. I'm like, okay, what's that? I really didn't understand what that was. I don't think she gave me a very good description of it. And I really didn't care. whatever it is, can't be that bad. And she says, well, you might have to wash out your trailer when it's done. I'm like, why would I have to do that? And she says, well, salt it, and you might get some salt in the trailer. So I get the address to where this place is picking up. Rawhide is like animal skins. I mean, this is something that you would never put into a dry van trailer. I mean, I wouldn't think you would. You'd put that in a reefer or something. I showed up at this shipper, and it's like this old church building that's been converted into a warehouse that has those big church windows. Well, those were docks that you backed into, and it's hot and sticky and muggy because you're down in Florida, and I could smell this place. My gosh, it was horrible smell. And then as you're pulling up to it, and you're like, I got to load at this church. What am I getting here? And the puddles were bloody. Oh, my gosh, it was the horrible thing ever. And I got loaded. They brought the paperwork out to me. I had to drive from Florida to Cincinnati. I finally pulled over to rest and do my 10-hour break. But while I was in the sleeper, I kept thinking, there's only this wall and another wall separating me from that raw hide. That broker said, well, I get these loads all the time if you ever want any more. I said, I'll never do that again for the rest of my life. So that's one of the worst loads I've ever done. I always ask what the load is, and if they tell you it's raw hide. And the forklift drivers in Cincinnati, they had the hides on top of their forklift to protect them from rain. I couldn't believe it. This is the grossest thing ever.
Hey, a couple more questions before we wrap it up here. So still on the subject of freight you would avoid, are there certain metro markets that you try to avoid, even if it's a better freight market, because it's just too imbalanced? It seems like Dallas has been changing. It used to be inbound only, but with the massive growth in DCs, there's more outbound there. So maybe it's a little better than it used to be. But we always know Florida has its own issues, as you previously described. What else markets that you're going to be leery of? I'm not saying you would always avoid it, but you're going to be a little more cautious about.
I'm always checking supply and demand. The way your question's going, of course, the recyclables and stuff like that can go. I've told you about automotive. I kind of like sticking to it. And I kind of avoid food products because I don't like messing with lumpers and food warehouses. But if we're talking about markets, then I'm always looking at supply and demand. That's where I do best. The reason why I talk about rates all the time is I'm fascinated about supply and demand. Why do I like Bitcoin? Supply and demand. It resonates with me. It's a math that I understand. I want to go somewhere where there's more freight options than there are trucks. A lot of that would come from DAT, the load board, DAT. I've been using it from day one. And it'll tell you, it's got the tools that'll tell you how many trucks are in the area, how many trucks are looking for freight versus how many loads are posted. Regardless, I'm going to make sure that I'm staying in those really good areas. And not everybody does that. Comparing myself to other people, I'm just doing one little thing that others are not doing it and allows me to have an edge on the market. I want to go somewhere where brokers are going to want me. I do a whole lot better when they want me. You're going to be in an area where there's 10 trucks to one load. Well, that starts to create a whole lot more problems. DAT will show you, you can use the hot market map. There's different tools on DAT that'll tell you where it's good, where it's not. Florida, if there's 10 trucks and there's only one load, the broker gets to name their price. Not necessarily you even get the load. There's some of you all are going to have to deadhead out. And that's why one advice I like to give that I got from another truck driver was take your backhaul with you. Like if I'm going into Florida, I'm going to make sure that I paid enough money to be able to bounce out of Florida. Maybe you might have to bounce all the way to Atlanta if Atlanta's doing good. And there's other things that's bad about going into a very weak market. Northeast. I hate going to the Northeast. Anything Pennsylvania, Northeast of that. I mean, some people do okay with it. With a van, I don't like it. When you run into situations where the demand for trucks is not as great, the broker might not want to pay detention. Like if you start asking for detention up front, telling the broker that this is what my detention rate is, and there's five other trucks that could take that same load, well, the broker would be like, no, we don't pay detention. I have four other options or five other trucks over here that I can call that'll go and do the same load.
Last question. I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball a little bit. I think you made some very clear comments at Matt's recently. What do you think is the outlook for the remainder of this year, first for freight volumes, and then secondly for freight rates?
I'm on social media and I'm reading what other people were talking about. Nobody's coming out saying, pumping their chest, well, I'm bidding a whole lot higher than I ever did the years before. Nobody's doing that for 2024. Right now, the people that are winning contracts is because they came in real low and bid real low. Now, in my opinion, when that's happening, that's very good for the spot market. You're not going to discourage me by saying that. The reason why I say that is because that freight will have to move. Yeah, the big mega carriers, they'll move it, but they're not moving all of it. They're going to have to give some of it to the spot market because they have to give that freight to the spot market. What's that conference that you said you went to at the very beginning of this?
Truckload Carriers Association, TCA.
That's the name. I read a report from them that talked about the break-even point for carriers was 2.07 per mile. So carriers have to make at least that. Well, if you go look at the averages for the past 4 months, I think the average comes out to 2.08 per mile. What I'm getting at is you rarely see, for the national average, all 48 states, we ever go much below that. If there's a breaking point for carriers, well, if they can't make no money at all, then they're just going to shut the truck off and not run. They'll stay at home until they can. And that's what you're seeing with that study. It says that 207, which was kind of ironic, that if you go add up the last 4 months, it comes into around that 208 per mile. Anyway, so looking at the future and with everybody pushing really hard to get the loads and they're pushing rates really low, that means a whole lot of freight's going to be sitting around and it's going to be sitting on the spot market and carriers are not going to be taking it. But loads eventually will have to go. And that means they will have to come up on their price. I get some of that wisdom from C.H. Robinson. From very senior level C.H. Robinson telling me that, hey, this is what the spot market looks like in the future. We're really close to that happening. Another one, freight waves. So I'm constantly reading. They just put out a really cool graph. They put out this graph of carriers leaving the market and carriers coming into the market. For a long period of time, going all the way back to at least 2014, there's never been a period of time where we've had such a decrease, people getting out, carriers getting out of the industry, as we have like the past 6, 7, 8 months. But if you look at the end of that graph, we're coming back to equilibrium. There's as many leaving as there are coming in. And that's a good sign that people are finding opportunities, even with the way the market is now.
Well, my tagline has been, this year we're in like a lamb, but we may finish the year out like a lion. Normally that phrase is said in reverse, but indicating that we may start kind of soft and mellow, but finish the year on much stronger momentum. So I've got my fingers crossed on that.
That's a good point, a good thing to say, but I don't think we're going to get any worse than where we currently are.
I agree. Chad, I can't thank you enough for your fantastic insights, your enthusiasm. I know folks heard a lot of good tips on how to make money. And really, all you got to do right now is just survive, because there's another period of thriving that's coming.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Always like that with the spot market. Yes, absolutely. Good times are coming.
Absolutely. Well, Chad, here's to better days. Take care.
Yes, sir.
That closes out this Trucking Matters edition of our podcast. We want to thank Chad Boblett, founder of Boblett Brothers Trucking and creator of the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook group that has grown to include more than 36,000 members. Our entire team at Reliance Partners wants to thank Chad for the time he spent with us answering our questions, providing his perspective, and sharing a little bit of his life story from the Marines through trucking.
As we move forward with our podcast series, occasionally we will take the opportunity to expand beyond safety topics to address other critical issues. At the end of the day, safety, operations, maintenance, and all of the departments at a trucking company surrounding the men and women behind the wheel all matter. And the issues impacting our industry obviously matter as well. At Reliance Partners, our team would like to be a resource that can bring you valuable insights on every aspect of trucking that matters. Reliance Partners is here to help. In fact, we created this Safety Matters podcast and webinar series to serve as a resource to the trucking and logistics industry. Safety Matters is a platform designed to help our motor carrier friends in their efforts to be safer and to be compliant with all of the various trucking regulations. Before we close out this edition of the Safety Matters podcast, I want to tell you a little bit about Reliance Partners. Reliance is the largest independent insurance agency solely focused on trucking and logistics. Our entire team appreciates the important role that trucking and logistics plays within the American economy, and we are absolutely dedicated to this industry. Folks, let's talk about how to connect with Reliance Partners, because it's very easy. You can follow us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all at Reliance Partners to stay up to date. Especially keep an eye on LinkedIn for announcements on when our next episodes will be airing. Just search Reliance Partners. Also, don't forget to visit our website at www.reliancepartners.com. There you can explore everything we have to offer, from requesting a quote to viewing our comprehensive range of services beyond safety. Once again, thank you for spending part of your day with us on the Safety Matters podcast. Now, we would like to invite you to become a regular listener to the podcast by subscribing to Safety Matters on your podcast platform of choice. You can find the podcast by searching Reliance Partners on all of the major podcast outlets. And by becoming a subscriber to the podcast, you will be notified each time we release a new episode, and you'll also have an opportunity to rate the podcast and to share your feedback with us. And finally, as our podcast title says, safety matters. So on behalf of the entire team at Reliance Partners, let's stay safe out there.